Pastor Scraps sat in his favorite reading chair. He couldn't put the latest bestseller book on Jesus down. Zealot, the life and times of Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, how he knew he had to prepare his wrap-up sermon on chapter 5 of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. He had entitled the sermon, Perfection. Oh, how Pastor Scraps loved the Sermon on the Mount. He imagined Jesus standing high above the 10,000 people gathered around him, and somehow they could hear the words of the great preacher and teacher. And on this Sunday, it was special. For Jesus would be declaring, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. Pastor tried to move his mind into the teaching, turn the other cheek. But the book, oh yes, the book continued to dangle within his mind. As one commentator had written about the book, in Zealot, the author, Reza Aslan, doesn't just synthesize, research, and reimagine a lost world. Aslan rips Jesus out of all the context that we thought he belonged and holds him forth as someone entirely new. This is Jesus as a passionate Jew, a violent revolutionary, a fanatical ideologue, and odd and scary and extraordinarily an interesting mind. Responding to the quote from the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount came in Pastor Scraps' mind. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How could it be? The healer and teacher of love and nonviolence is historically deviled as a violent revolutionary. The book he couldn't put down, it was similar to some other books that had captured the pastor, that he had often read through and through, such as the Jesus Dynasty, the hidden history of Jesus, his royal family, and birth of Christianity. The author would write about Jesus in a manner that a historian would write about another person of history. Here's a quote. In mid-December of AD 29, Jesus made a daring move. He knew the date because the Gospel of John tells us it was winter at the time of the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. He made a clandestine trip to Jerusalem and was almost killed. He had gone into the Herod's temple and was walking in the area called the Portico of Solomon when some of the Jewish authorities cornered him. The task was to prepare a sermon and preach on the subject perfection. Jesus had declared in his great sermon, be perfect. And therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfection related to loving not only your neighbor, but your enemy. Perfection was about not retaliating and leading with compassion. What has happened to such a Jesus with the context that Jesus was a zealot? Pastor Scraps would read on. he discovered that the author declared, "When I was 15 years old, I found Jesus. I spent the summer of my sophomore year at an evangelical youth camp in a place timbered of fields and boundless blue skies. We're given enough time and stillness and soft-spoken encouragement. One could not help but hear the voice of God. 2,000 years ago, I was told in an ancient land called Galilee, the God of heaven and earth was born in the form of a helpless child. The child grew into a blameless man. The man became the Christ, the Savior of humanity. Through his words and miraculous deeds, he challenged the Jews who thought they were the chosen of God. And in return, the Jews had him nailed to a cross. So he could have saved himself from that gruesome death, he freely chose to die. His death was the point of it all. For his sacrifice freed us all from the burden of our sins. But the story from the burden of our sins, the story did not end there. Because 3 days later he rose again, exalted and divine. For a kid raised in a motley family of lukewarm Muslims and exuberant atheists, this was truly the greatest story ever told." "Wow," said the pastor, bursting out loud. "Look at the author's background. On the one hand, he was the perfect believer of Jesus Christ. On the other, he has been open to a Jesus beyond the gospel and beyond the Christ of the writings of Paul." As he read on, he wondered when the author would define that word, zealot. Zeal implied a strict adherence to the Torah and the law, a refusal to serve any foreign master, to serve any master at all, and an uncompromising devotion to the sovereignty of God. And here it is, thought Pastor Scraps. To be zealous for the Lord was to walk in the blazing footsteps of the prophets and the heroes of old. Men and women who tolerated no partner to God, who would bow to no king save the king of the world, and who dealt ruthlessly with idolatry and with those who transgressed God's law. Pastor thought, a zealot in this regard is in connection with this Sunday's Hebrews passage from Leviticus. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I love your God and am holy.'" Returning back to the book, the author turns to his history. He takes the reader to the Roman city 3 miles north of Nazareth that is never mentioned in the Bible. Some scholars note that it is the city that the carpenters or laborers, Joseph, Jesus, and his brothers would have worked to restore. For Zephorus was attacked in the year that Jesus was born, in the time that Herod the Great had died. Judas and his small army of zealots made a daring assault on the city of Zephorus. They broke open the city's royal army and seized for themselves the weapons and provisions that were stored inside. Now fully armed and joined by a number of sympathetic Zephyrians, the members launched a guerrilla war throughout Galilee. Pastor Scraps paused. Thoughts bounced through his mind. Tears rolled down his eyes. He was aware from his own trip to the Holy Land that Sepphoris was believed to be the city where Mary, the mother of Jesus, was raised. It meant that Jesus would have been very much aware of the zealots who destroyed that city that he was rebuilding. But did it mean that Jesus was not the Messiah, the Christ, the everlasting, who on the third day rose from the dead? Pastor Scraps sprung from his chair. The sun was shining. Thus he went walking and prayed to the God that he declared, "You alone are the Holy One. You alone are our God, our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Jesus, I beg you, help me to comprehend how to know you and keep you as my Savior and continue to remain committed to justice." Quotes from Jesus from Luke appeared in the pastor's memory. And Jesus, filled with power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and was his custom. He stood up, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free." The eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. Yes, Pastor declared, Jesus stood for freedom. He desired to let the oppressed go free. He proclaimed the release of the captives and the good news to the poor. That does not mean that his similarities with zealots did not necessarily make him one. His prayer walk had become a pacing back and forth. History, we so need it. Yet, how open should we be in the new discoveries that impact our faith? Pastor recalled publications and the television media coverage that happened many years ago, back in 1996. First, it was discovered in 1980, but it took that many years for it to be made public. The headline stated, "Jesus' family tomb discovered." The cluster of names in the tomb were associated with the family of Jesus, including a Mary, a Joseph, a second Mary, a Jude, son of Jesus, a Matthew, and most significantly, a Jesus, son of Joseph. Back to praying. Pastor Scraps recited the Lord's Prayer. The part that sprung forth was, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yes, he muttered, Jesus did proclaim the kingdom of God on earth, and regardless of his history on earth and his death and resurrection, he truly became the saving, holy one who stood at the right hand of God. In his walk, he returned to his study, and upon his favorite reading chair. And he knew that as the book opened up the passage from Luke, he said, "Be perfect," Jesus, he's quoting Jesus, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." He picked up the book and asked, "Is this world today where history is dominating our faith? How do I become perfect for the will of God?" And he noted that the quote before the book, Zealot reads from the words of Matthew, in Matthew 10:34, the same Messiah who preached the Sermon on the Mount, including blessed are the peacemakers, and the Beatitudes declared, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Pastor sat back in his chair, began reading where he left off. He paused and thought, wondering if any parishioners in his church were reading the book. He paused. Before I can preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to his church in today's world, I need to complete this book, as well as continuing my readings of the psalm and of the book I call the Holy Word of God. Amen.